talking about possibilities of creating a traditional knowledge commons. Now, first of all, I'd just like to say a few words of the value of traditional knowledge. And it's really a pleasure to be able to speak about this topic being here in the Amazon. And surely I don't have to tell you much about the value of traditional knowledge, because probably most of you are even more knowledgeable about this than I would possibly be.
Jenna, can you slow down because you have translation?
Okay.
And closer to the microphone.
Okay. So as we know, traditional knowledge is part of the livelihoods, of the lifestyles that traditional communities and indigenous communities have. Now, this has not been recognized so far by the international community, and the legal system that is currently in place does not provide the kind of recognition to the value of the traditional knowledge of indigenous and local communities. Now, traditional knowledge is important not only to the holders of this knowledge, but it is also essential for the rest of us, to all of us. Sustainable development is directly related to traditional knowledge. We can say that, for example, traditional agricultural practices and traditional medicine are essential not only for the development of the lifestyles and the livelihoods of traditional communities, but they also can provide important inputs to the development of what we know as formal science. Now, just to say, what are some of the problematics on the issue of traditional knowledge? Now, first of all, there is a general assumption about a superiority of the Western knowledge, and that somehow the traditional knowledge of communities, of local and indigenous communities, is not at that same level, and there's been a lot of pressure for traditional communities to start to inherit some of those practices that before were foreign to them. Now, as I mentioned, in the international legal arena, there is no real recognition of the value of traditional knowledge, and the scheme that is currently in place is very much unbalanced. Now, what we find that are two of the key problems in the legal regime is that there is currently a way to misappropriate and to expropriate traditional knowledge and to create products and market them based on traditional knowledge without there being any benefit derived to the local communities. So, as we know, there's many examples of patents that have been granted that have been based or have been used traditional knowledge, cases such as turmeric and neem in India, many others that we know. So I will try to explain by showing to you what is happening in the international legal framework, why this framework right now is unfair against the interests of the traditional knowledge holders, why there is an extreme focus on intellectual property rights, not only which recognizes formal knowledge and doesn't recognize traditional knowledge, but also that the solutions that are currently being discussed in the international system to provide protection to traditional knowledge is also focused with the same perspective towards privatization of knowledge. Now, it's quite complex to look at all these organizations that are discussing issues related to traditional knowledge. So we find that in discussing genetic resources for food and agriculture, there is an issue about the value of traditional knowledge associated historically to developing these genetic resources and also to conservating them. However, there is still no framework on how traditional knowledge will be recognized within this discussion. Now, the Convention on Biological Diversity recognizes traditional knowledge as being very important in relationship to genetic resources, biological resources. However, again, there is no real enforceability mechanism within this convention. So countries can decide to provide some form of recognition and protection of traditional knowledge or not to do so. So, for example, the United States is also not even a member of this convention. So it's very weak, the protection it provides. Now, the World Trade Organization, this is a institution that does have a lot of power. It has teeth. It can actually make governments comply with the rules it has. And here we have the famous TRIPS agreement, which is the trade-related aspects, well, it rules over trade-related aspects of intellectual property rights. So here we are saying that countries must provide patents over biological resources, but there is absolutely no recognition or mention to traditional knowledge. So this is where the unfairness appears. Now, the World Intellectual Property Organization currently has a committee that has been discussing for over 8 years about this same issue. How do we recognize rights for local and indigenous communities? What kind of protection should be provided? And the necessity of an international solution to the problem. Recognizing that, for example, if we have a system that allows grantings of patents at the international level, then we also need an international system where we can recognize traditional knowledge and a legal system that will protect those rights. Otherwise, the national efforts will not be sufficient. Now, these discussions, after years, we're still in the same process. Nothing has advanced. There has been more participation of local and indigenous communities directly in the process, because these are countries that are negotiating. But there still need to have much more participation of the communities and to hear their voices of what is exactly what they want to achieve. And one of the problems of not having this participation is, as I mentioned, over-focus on intellectual property rights as a solution. So the solution that is being proposed by some is saying, well, let's tell those traditional knowledge holders to use intellectual property tools that already exist, such as trademarks, and if they can, then for them to also seek patents on their traditional knowledge. So what we're saying is let's create a race to privatize traditional knowledge too. So okay, we recognize it, but then the way we recognize it is say, use the intellectual property system to protect your traditional knowledge. Now, you discuss this with local communities, and of course we can hear from many of you here that have experiences in this issue in the Amazon. And that is completely foreign to them. And of course, we can see who will benefit of having this kind of intellectual property system applied to traditional knowledge. And of course, this is the corporations that generally benefit from the international marketing and commercialization of products based on traditional knowledge without having to provide benefits back to the communities. Now, the national legal framework, it's extremely important. And why is it extremely important? Because only at the local level is where communities can actually discuss what are the kinds of solutions that they want, and especially based on their customary laws. Now, when we talk, for example, of intellectual property rights, as I mentioned, these are foreign systems. Now, customary laws do recognize traditional knowledge, and there is a sense within the community of how this knowledge is passed on from generation to generation, who can use it, who owns it, and how can it be shared with others outside the community. So when we talk about the commons in the same aspect as we explained before, we have to recognize that traditional knowledge is not simply there in the public domain for everyone to use, because there is some customary laws. There are some rules for the use and for the sharing that communities have. The problem is that this is not recognized formally, and especially in the international legal system. So this is why there's a difference between talking about public domain and talking about the knowledge commons. Now, I'd like to share an experience which I recently discovered, which is a new law that the government of Kerala in India, south of India, has started to develop, which is very innovative, and it's a very interesting attempt to try to put another possibility to the issue of traditional knowledge protection. So it's not saying, well, let's leave traditional knowledge in the public domain, and it's not saying let's create intellectual property rights type, a similar system of protection for traditional knowledge. It's saying let's create knowledge commons for traditional knowledge. Now, the difference of what they're trying to do is to recognize the rights of traditional knowledge holders, which by customary law exist, and at the same time, not create any enclosure of such knowledge, but to actually share it with others. And how can this be done? The two things, generally this is the big debate. How can you promote the use of traditional knowledge and sharing of traditional knowledge for science development? And at the same time, how can you recognize the rights of traditional knowledge holders?
Microphone, please.
Oh, sorry. Now, what...
1 minute.
Okay. So what will be done is the traditional knowledge holders will receive a commons license, which is modeled on other initiatives that have happened before, such as Creative Commons. And with this license, the traditional knowledge holder, which they will have a registry, they register and then the state decides whether they are granted this, they will have they will keep the rights to commercialize or not commercialize or share their traditional knowledge as they wish. And there can be no patenting over this knowledge. If there's any improvement made with the use of this traditional knowledge, then that has to go to the Knowledge Commons, which means it can be accessible to everyone if there's no commercial use over this. So just to say, this is very new, and this is an important example to bring about another arena, international and hopefully also in different countries at the national level, as another option. And just to leave you with that, so hopefully you can follow up with some more reading or questions afterwards. Thank you.